The Black and Abdallah podcast is proudly brought to you by Yingling. Yingling is legendary, and it's now in Chicago. After 196 years, you can now enjoy Yingling traditional lager, light lager, golden pilsner, black and tan, and flight.
This is the home of the Bears. ESPN Chicago, WMVP, WTBC HD2, Chicago. This is ESPN Chicago, the home of the Bears. And the countdown to kickoff is on. This is Pregame Tailgate with Chris Black and Adam Abdallah, brought to you by Bradley University.
It's your Bears pregame tailgate here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. Presented by Bradley University, coming up in 1 hour from now, your network pregame show with Waddle, Sylvie, Dion Miller, and then your Bears play the 49ers right here. After that, your postgame show with Yurko and Peggy, followed by your postgame show with Jack McGrath, Pat the Designer, and Jason McKee, taking you into the wee hours of the morning. You guys are on until what, 2:30 today? 2:30 in the morning? What time are you guys on until 2:30, Jack?
Depends what time the game ends, but probably 2:30 is what we're looking at.
Late night coffee run, 24-hour Dunkin' right
That's
below
how
us
it works
right now.
Here because the Bears are NFC North champions. That's right. Your home of the NFC North champion Chicago Bears. The Bears have finally done it for the first time since 2018, NFC North champs.
And the last thing, the most important piece, is we're going to take the North and never give it back.
It took since 2022, since Ryan Poles took over late January 2022, to finally take the North. And hopefully they hold on to it for a while and never give it back. But it starts tonight with the 49ers. They are 3.5-point underdogs. They head out to San Francisco. On Friday, the injury report came out. Roma Dunze is going to be out. He has missed a few games here. Ben Johnson was asked about this a few days ago. This was a back and forth with reporters about Roma Dunze.
And what have you guys had Rome doing for the past week?
Rehabbing.
Is he on the bike? Is he running? And what has he been able to do?
We've been working through his rehab process. So he's right on track. He's gonna be in a good spot.
Talked about what do you mean he's going to be in a good spot?
He's going to be able to help us this year.
Roma Dunze last played against the Eagles, where he had 2 receptions on 6 targets. And before that, I mean, he had 8 yards that night. He had 53 yards in the game against the Steelers, 41 yards against the Vikings. Before that, he really hasn't had, he had 86 yards against the Giants. But after that, in the 3 games after that, he really wasn't much of a factor, and he went out there, he tested it pre-game and a game, and then that extremely cold game,
yeah.
And that's when he kind of re-aggravated it, and then since then, he's been out, and Ben Johnson said he's going to be able to help us this year. Now, obviously, the Bears have won the division. There is still something on the line the rest of this season. You can still get the 1 seed. You can still have a bye in the playoffs. You can still miss the wild card round and start in the division round. So you can still get a bye. There's still something on the line. Whether he's not going to play tonight, whether he plays next week against the Lions, or this is just a sit him out until the playoff situation, we'll find out, I guess, next week when they play the Lions. But right now, Roma Dunze is definitely out. Nick McLeod is definitely out. And now, added to the injury report today with an illness that has been going through Hallis Hall that has affected, DJ Moore was added today, Olamide Zaccheaus was added today, Darnell Wright was added yesterday. He did not fly with the team yesterday. He flew out by himself today. He is questionable today. DJ Moore, Zaccheaus are all questionable today. And Nashawn Wright is also questionable with this illness. Josh Blackwell is questionable with this illness. So this illness is kind of taken apart Hallis Hall, especially the receiving core, and Darnell Wright. We'll see if these guys can go today. But right now, without Roma Dunze, potentially without DJ Moore, potentially without Zaccheaus, there's not a lot of bodies out there for Caleb Williams in this offense.
Yeah, get ready to Jahdae Walker game, part 2.
Well, he did have,
be looking for. And listen,
he had a great game.
I do like what I've seen from Jahdae Walker from the preseason and then into that Packer game last week. He's shown he can play.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he sometimes you see some of these practice squad guys step on the field, and it's like, all right, that guy clearly doesn't belong. He's just a step behind everyone else out there on the field. That is not the case with Jahdae Walker. I'm not here to tell you he's a superstar. I'm not here to even tell you he's an above-average player in the league, but that's a guy who walks on the field and looks like he belongs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's part of when you have a coaching staff that is developing and you've got all of these high-profile guys at each spot in the coaching staff. When you've got these guys developing some of these younger guys, even off of the practice squad or lower down on the depth chart, and they can step in and be ready to play, it just kind of shows you the trickle-down effect of what Ben Johnson has brought to the Bears this season.
I mean, I think you look at it with the defensive guys. Look at what everything that this defense has gone through with TJ Edwards missing a lot of time, Jalen Johnson missing a lot of times. Look at all these guys that have stepped up in their absence.
You know what's crazy,
Tremaine
too?
Tremaine Edmonds missing a lot of time.
About the defensive backs, we don't even talk about the Terrell Smith injury from preseason.
Yeah.
That was a guy who used to be, whenever Jalen Johnson or Tyreek Stevenson were out or being disciplined for something, Terrell Smith stepped in and looked pretty good, too. Like, when we talk before this season, we didn't talk about a lot of feathers in Ryan Poles' draft caps.
Yeah.
But that was actually one of them. Fifth-round guy out of Minnesota. Whenever he stepped in, he played well. And we haven't even talked about his absence all season long because we've known as Bears fans he's not going to play this year, and it's kind of been out of sight, out of mind. But even to be able to still replenish the defensive backfield after losing a bunch of your starting guys out of the gate, or like key contributing guys out of the gate, has been super impressive.
Yeah, and a lot of these guys too that were limited in practice earlier this week were full participants, have no designation. Luther Burden, Kevin Byer, Drew Dahlman, Devin Duvernay, Travis Homer, DeMarco Jackson, Amen Abogbemiga, and Joe Tooney, all expected to play today. They were all full participants that have no designation. Caleb Williams was asked about earlier this week, asked about his relationship with Ben Johnson and how it started off a little bit rocky, and now, obviously, they're best friends.
It took me a while. It took me, throughout camp. At certain parts, felt like our relationship was pretty fragile. Fragile at certain points from my perspective. It's like, geez, like this dude, doesn't seem like he likes me. He doesn't have to like me. You know, that's what you kind of realize. But at that point also, and to that extent, you start figuring out that's just him, and he cares so much about the sport. He cares so much about us. He cares so much about winning. He cares, like I said, he cares about us as players. That you start figuring out him, and you understand that when you're on that 53, that 53 by 120, it's that's his place. And so, being able to go out there, do our job exactly how we should, and exactly how he teaches it. And then when you get off the field, he's one of the guys. He's a player's coach. He laughs and jokes with us. He's bumping us around and things like that. And so it's fun. It's enjoyable when we're off the field. It's fun and enjoyable when we're on the field. But it did take a little bit.
I think my favorite thing about the last couple weeks is seeing all the receipts from people about what the Bears' record was going to be and about Caleb Williams. And I know we still don't fully know what Caleb Williams is going to be as a quarterback, but specifically about his relationship with Ben Johnson.
Yeah.
And how this isn't going to work out. Ben Johnson doesn't like him. He didn't pick him. This isn't his quarterback. This is never going to work out. He wants a prototypical stay-in-the-pocket quarterback. This is never going to work. It's obviously
working.
Look
at it now. Yeah. To the point of like, oh, he didn't pick Caleb Williams. I always thought with Ben Johnson coming to the Bears, sure, he was not a part of the group that drafted Caleb Williams. But in a sense, he did pick Caleb Williams because he chose to coach the Chicago Bears. And Ben Johnson doesn't seem like someone who's willing to be patient and wait around to start winning.
Mm-hmm.
I think he came and took this job because he thought right out of the gate, this was a roster that was built to a certain degree where we could win now. Now, to the extent that they could win, I don't know what he thought when he looked at this roster, but it was better than a lot of other situations out there. So to a degree, he did pick Caleb Williams in my mind. And I think that you're starting to see that this is going to be something that is at least interesting moving forward, the marriage between Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson. I'm not here to tell you it's going to be the next Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes or Brady and Josh McDaniels, because I don't know where this thing's going exactly. But I do see progress week in and week out with Caleb Williams. And it's worth noting that this offense continues to get better and better, and it's just year one. So I'm excited where it's going to lead me, but I just don't know exactly where it's going to lead me at the end of the day.
Caleb talked about the pride in going from worst last year to first, now first, this year.
I've said it in a couple of speeches that I've had before that, you know, I wasn't the biggest, I wasn't the strongest, I wasn't the tallest, fastest, whatever the case may be. I get drafted here, told that I'm not a special player, told that I'm not, a good fit here, told that, you know, coach and I won't work. I've told, you know, I can't win here. I know that's going to keep going on. But I do take a little satisfaction and things like that. And, you know, being able to help this team, help this organization, be a part of it, to get to the playoffs. And, you know, my goal isn't to just get to the playoffs. My goal is to win. And win big. And so, I'm going to keep my head down. I'm going to keep growing for the guys in this building, for the coaches and things like that, for this organization and for the city to be able to be proud and happy to be fans and supporters of Chicago Bears.
That's Caleb Williams on going from worst to, at the time, just being in the playoffs. Now this team, because of the Packers' loss yesterday, are now NFC North division champs, the first time since 2018 after being in last place for the last 3 years. If you go back to 2022, Ryan Poles.
And the last thing, the most important piece, is we're going to take the North and never give it back.
312-332-3776. We're asking you how far you think this team can go in the playoffs now that they have won the NFC North. Let's go to Tom. He's on the South side. What's up, Tom?
Yeah, hey there, guys. All right, yeah. Definitely, I think we could take it off, 100%.
All right.
What I'm calling about in particular is you guys were talking about, went to the Green Bay game and didn't wear any of your Bears stuff on Saturday.
Yeah.
Oh, my good. Okay, I'm a Southside Irish Catholic Cubs fan. I know abuse. I've been thinking it for my whole life, right? I would have worn my Bears stuff. And you guys,
I will say though, Tom, I will say I did see one guy there who was wearing Bears stuff, and he was wearing the orange Trubisky jersey, and I was like, all right, that guy's a loser.
Wait, lose a bet?
Okay, all right. That's, you know, that's almost like a joke. I think he was giving everybody out there. You know what I mean?
But he had a Bears hat on too, so he clearly was a Bears fan.
Oh my goodness, and a Trubisky. Anyway, I have one of the best collectible items, I think.
It's a nice item.
I worked at Soldier Field in the early 80s, mid to the late 80s, and yes, the 85, 86, all those guys. I'm wearing a Bears cap. It's 40 years old. It was a giveaway. I got every giveaway in the world because I worked there at Soldier Field. We made the food for the vendors, hot dogs, beer, hot chocolate, you name it. Mm. We gave it to the vendors, closed down third quarter, and then watch the game for the fourth quarter, and then I would sneak down to the Bears' den, and I'd have these guys sign my hats, sign a ball. I had Walter Payton sign a football for my cousin when he turned 10. I don't have him on this hat, but I have 6 Hall of Famers on my cap, which is on my head right now. I've got Mike Ditka, Mike Singletary, Richard Dent, Dan Hampton, who are my other guys?
Mongo?
What's it?
Is Mongo on there?
Mongo McMichael.
Okay, yeah. All right. That's a nice
God
item.
Bless him. I got Dave Dewarson on here, too. I've got 6 Hall of Famers on this cap. I was asking your producer, I'm a Devin Hester fan, aren't we all? You know?
Mm-hmm.
My favorite Bear of my lifetime.
Oh, my God, he's just a great... But I got to grow up with those other guys, you know, which was wonderful. Should I look to have him sign this cap, or would it take away from the nostalgia of the 85-86 Bears?
Tom, do you only have Hall of Famers on there, or do you have, like, some of the other guys?
I've got additionals plus.
Then I wouldn't have him touch it.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have him talk.
If it was just like Bears Hall of Famers that you were collecting, then I would say like Hester, Urlacher, all those guys. But
right, but this is quite effectively nothing but 85-86 Bear. You know?
Yeah.
You're stick with that.
Yeah, stick with that.
Too. Mm-hmm.
I think so too. What do you think something, I mean, after 40 years and, you know, and look, this is, it was 85-86. It's 25-26. We're taking it. Papa Halas passed away in 83. Virginia just passed away this past, what, February.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of see it coming into play.
All right.
You know?
All right, Tom. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
Yeah, great. Thanks chatting with you guys. Have a nice new year. Go Bears, go Bears.
You go too. Bears.
Thanks, Tom. All right, Bulldog John Drummond will join us next here on Chicago's pregame tailgate.
ESPN Chicago. Bradley University is a proud partner of pregame tailgate with Black and Abdallah. Now here are your hosts, Adam Abdallah and Chris Black on ESPN Chicago.
About 40 minutes away from your network pregame show with Waddle, Sylvie, and Dion Miller, right here on your home of the NFC North Division champion, Chicago Bears. They take on the San Francisco 49ers later on tonight, Sunday Night Football. 312-332-3776. Let's go out to Lewis in Hyde Park. What's up, Lewis?
Hey, gentlemen, how you doing today?
What's going on?
Oh, man, I'm doing well. I just want to say, being a huge Bears fan and just, you know, watching the playoffs and knowing the playoffs, I'm not a big fan of the first-round buys because it's like you basically go 2 weeks without playing. And I'm not saying the Bears should lie down, but I wouldn't be bothered if they lost and they didn't get that, you know, first-round buy. Because it's so hard to regenerate and recapture the momentum that you have every week, like the way we've been winning and just having that energy and then going to the playoffs and you got to go without playing for 2 weeks. Then you get a wild card team or team coming off a wild card victory that's coming in with a lot of energy, coming in with a lot of momentum, and then having to match that can be very, very, very dangerous. So, you know, if we don't get it, I wouldn't be too mad because I just want them to continue to play week by week by week and keep up the fabulous plan that how they've been playing.
All right, Lewis, appreciate the phone call. Thank you. I respectfully disagree because it's not because of the rust or anything like that. It's simply because I don't think Ben Johnson would ever let this team come in with any rust or anything like that.
Yeah, I trust that. And I know that there will be some people out there who say, oh, but what about last year? Like the Lions were the team that got they had the bye and then they got blown out in the first round. But I would say wasn't the offense's problem.
No, it was not. It was not. Look at what happened with the so-called trap game, right?
Right, yeah.
Like Ben Johnson has never had this team except for the Lions game, the beginning of the season. And that was, I feel like that was a team that all they did was circle that one game on their calendar.
Yeah.
The entire offseason, just circle that one game on their calendar. And maybe they've circled next week's game on their calendar as well. Because all they want to do is beat the Bears.
Ben Johnson's got that game circled on his calendar.
And he might. I don't think there's going to be any rust or any let up or anything from this Ben Johnson coach team. I don't think they're ever going to walk into a game. I think we've seen it this season, and I'll say it next season, and as long as he's head coach, I don't think they're ever going to walk into a game unprepared.
And the other thing is, like, who are we as Bears fans to turn our noses up at a first-round bye?
Yeah, absolutely. Come on,
this
guys.
Is spoken. Like, I felt like that call was spoken by someone who hasn't been in the playoffs in a long time.
Yeah.
I think we need to recalibrate our brains a little bit here because hopefully there's a lot of winning football coming to Chicago here for the foreseeable future. When you can get a bye and you can get rest in the NFL, you take it every single time. I'm not worried as much about the rest versus rust factor of anything that has to do with the Bears in the NFL.
No, absolutely. Like, we're talking about, we were, at the beginning of the season, we were talking about hopefully being relevant these right. last 2 weeks.
Well, and the other thing is, we've always talked about, okay, you have the trick up your sleeve, which is the wild card that is being able to get takeaways.
Mm-hmm.
We know that is not a sustainable method of victory week in and week out.
Yeah.
You cannot depend on takeaways every single week. So wouldn't you like to shorten the amount of games that you have to maybe pull the rabbit out of your hat
Absolutely.
Every single week?
And get healthier. Get
that
these
too.
Guys, let me look at how long this injury report is. Get these guys healthier. Get them some rest. They haven't had a bye since week five. Like, get some rest for these guys. It's Aaron's in Villa Park. What's up, Aaron?
Hey, what's up, guys? Tyler, you're pretty cool. Adam.
Thanks, Aaron.
Are you and Bleck, so when we make our Super Bowl run and throughout the playoffs, you guys are going to be doing pregame shows, right?
No, we got one more left after this.
Oh, okay.
We'll be doing stuff.
Well, anyways, as far as you guys do a great job. As far as the seeding goes, I kind of agree. Shouldn't they kind of rest up, maybe not take these next two games go 100% as seriously as hard, just because, you know, they basically got the 2 seed locked up. So I kind of want to hear your thoughts on that. And then how great was it to see, you know, Rodgers and the Steelers kind of look like trash against the Browns? That was just music to my ears. So
thanks, Aaron. Appreciate it. I don't think they should be resting anybody.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
No. Until this is locked up.
Until, like, you know your fate, like.
And I don't think you're going to, because even if you win tonight, you still have to wait until the Seahawks lose, which you won't know next week.
Now, the question would be, if they were to lose tonight, and the difference between having the 2 and 3 seed is very minimal.
I guess it depends on who you're playing.
It could be, and you've got the tiebreaker over the Eagles, and the Eagles currently are leading the Bills right now.
Yeah.
But then maybe you have some questions about it.
Sure.
But for right here and right now, I would say you're playing your guys the rest of the way.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think you start resting guys until your fate is sealed and nothing you do matters, has any weight on the outcome. You're playing your guys. It's football. You play until the result doesn't matter.
And I think, like, there's certain guys who, it's different case by case. Like, Roma Dunze, I'm not rushing back at this point.
No.
I am letting him take his time to get healthy and ready for this. I'm not rushing back. Like, a guy like TJ Edwards, let's say he pops up on the injury report again next week, a guy who's dealt with so many injuries so far this season.
Now his glute hurts.
All right, I could see a world where you just kind of let TJ Edwards rest this thing out to the end of the way. Maybe not this week, but next week.
Yeah.
Because I think that you can beat Detroit without TJ Edwards. I think you can beat Detroit without Roma Dunze. So even if they do play or don't play, I still think you've got a pretty good shot in the game. So, yeah, I'm on team no rest here. And even with I think about it from the preseason lens, like, these guys were not resting their guys very much in the preseason. Ben Johnson was not resting his guys that much. Mm-mm. In fact, I was a little bit shocked at how much run some of these guys got in the preseason as well. And maybe that's an indicator of how he feels about his guys going into the playoffs.
You ready for this? Eddie's on the north side. What's up, Eddie? Eddie?
And I tried to call all your shows and wish you guys a goodbye, but, you know, you guys were, like, swamped and everything like that.
We'll be on next week.
Wait, what?
We'll be on we'll be on before the Bears game next week.
Oh, okay. Well, whatever. Okay. So, as much as the Bears story is, you know what, unique, and so is the 49ers, you know, from Purdy being out for this long, and they're at the position where they can almost even win their division. But I think if the Bears get the number one and you get a bye, maybe we'll pull out a 2011 Eli Manning Giants, go into whoever, and win the Super Bowl.
That is the most positive Eddie call I've ever heard.
Whoa.
Okay.
Eddie, I think that's the first time I've heard
Eddie?
You use Bears and win in the same sentence.
What did you do with Eddie on the north side? What is this? Did you have like a What is that? Did you have like a Scrooge type thing? Did
little
you
Freaky
have a,
Friday situation
yeah, what happened
going
to you on
here?
Christmas?
No, I know you're pointing to it.
He's in the holiday spirit, isn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, you are.
He's got a little Christmas cheer
with
him.
You got into the eggnog early, well,
no.
didn't you?
I'm in, and I'm not in so much at the quarterback, but the whole Bears thing that, you know what, the luck has been unbelievable. I've never seen a team that has run to so much luck, like from Love going out to the $210 million linebacker going out and to going in there and winning the game, from the Bengals game where this guy's off, lines up offside, and you get another thing on fourth down to get another thing to win a game there. Everything around it, I've never seen so much, but maybe it's faith that they need to be here, and maybe they'll be in the Super Bowl. And I hope they are.
All right, Eddie, thanks. Have a good one.
We were just talking about this after I took Eddie's call. I was like, wow. What he's transformed into somebody. I never thought I'd hear this type of Eddie. He's so positive, and
I think he met a ghost from Christmas future, past and present.
I think sure. I
think he definitely
gained a little perspective.
Yeah, I think he did. I think he did. I think he did. Marty's in Mount Greenwood. What's up, Marty?
Hey guys, what's up, man? I'm just trying to. I just can't understand why these guys are all talking about the buy and not wanting to buy and all this other stuff. Whatever happened to good, better, best? Never let it rest. There you go. That's all you need to know. Never let it rest.
Do you know the rest of it?
Keep playing. Yes, I know the rest
well,
of
give it.
It.
Come on. Give me the chance. Let's go.
Go better, best. Never let it rest.
Is that all you got?
That's all you got?
You forgot, but you're missing a pivotal line here, Marty. I mean, you're forgetting the until you're good is better and your better is best. And if you're the one seed, your betters become best.
All right, we'll give you another shot. All right,
the best, you better get best. Sorry.
Thanks, Marty.
Thank you.
Bye. I gave him a shot. I thought we were going to have a good chance there. Didn't get it. I guess we've given back the North. That's
North has been seeded.
Yeah, we gave it back. That was it. Thanks, Marty. That was going to be it. That's how we were going to give the North back. That's how we were going to give it back. We'll take more of your calls coming up next.
ESPN Chicago.
The Black and Abdallah podcast is proudly brought to you by Yingling. Yingling is legendary, and it's now in Chicago. After 196 years, you can now enjoy Yingling traditional lager, light lager, golden pilsner, black and tan, and flight. Here comes the ball.
Black and Abdallah. Pre-game tailgate, ESPN Chicago. Brought to you by Bradley University.
I like that we've had all these games spread around over the weekend. You know, you had games over Christmas. I thought there should have been a game on Friday. Like, I was just looking for something.
Looking for games.
I just wanted something Friday. Yeah, I just felt like there should have been something Friday. There were games Thursday. There was stuff Saturday, yesterday,
what
obviously.
What if I told you could have a game Friday?
Yes.
But it was...
Yeah,
Titans Saints.
Fine,
it was Titans Saints.
Yeah,
it had to be that game.
That was a good game.
It was a good game.
That was a great game.
What if I told you it had to be Vegas or the Giants?
Game.
You'd take that. You'd
take
game.
I'd take
game over
game.
No game.
Okay. I'd take game over no game any day of the week. Are you kidding me?
I mean, I guess if we were content with having football on Christmas, all of those games were basically the same level of matchup.
I felt like, I feel like I do this every year. Christmas Eve comes around and I look at my app and I'm like, why is no one playing anything?
Yeah, like can I get a Pacific?
Why is every sport just
Pepperdine
like
Pepperdine college
nope.
basketball game?
We're just not doing anything Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve is the sacred sports holiday. It is the worst sports day of the year.
NBA, do something.
Step up.
What are you doing? Deuce, take that day. But I do feel like it comes with every, you know, with great, what is the Spider-Man thing? With great power comes great responsibility. With great...
Pretty sure that's like a Teddy Roosevelt thing, not a Spider-Man
no,
thing.
No, it's 1,000% a Spider-Man thing. It is 100% a Spider-Man thing. It is not Teddy Roosevelt. It's Spider-Man.
All right, you're right. It is Spider-Man.
Yeah, what are you talking about? That's the main line in Spider-Man.
It's the main thing in Spider-Man.
Yeah, but I figured that they would have jacked it from like Teddy Roosevelt or one of our forefathers.
No! It's Stan Lee! It's Spider-Man! I think that's Stan Lee. Anyway.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, cool. With great spreading of games comes two games in your 3 o'clock window. And you shouldn't have Red Zone. Like, Red Zone needs to go dark during this time, because there's two games on and there's Red Zone is just useless.
We're showing commercials anyway on Red Zone these days. Just split screen the games.
Yeah, just this is useless at this point, because right now you've got two games going on. The Giants are up on the Max Crosby-less Raiders 17-3. That's at halftime, and 2 minutes left in the second quarter. The Eagles are up on the Bills 10-0. And I say the Max Crosby-less Raiders because it is very important to me in the offseason that Max Crosby is upset because he was told to go home. He was told to take his ball and his knee and go home because he was put on IR and was the Raiders told the media that he is going to have knee surgery, even though he was on social media today playing basketball and jumping on a trampoline. And Adam Schefter reported that he is very not happy with being sent home by the Raiders. And if he's not happy, Ryan Poles, pick up the phone, because I was told
we're going to take the North and never give it back.
And the way you never give it back is you go out and you get a disgruntled pass rusher like Max Crosby, and you bolster this team up that has won the NFC North for the first time since 2018 after finishing in last place for the last 3 years. And that is how you never give it back. You take a defense that is super reliant on turnovers, which is not sustainable, and you hope it doesn't come back to bite you in the ass in the playoffs, and you bolster it with a guy like Max Crosby, and you pair him with Montez Sweat on the opposite side, and that is how you turn this team into a perennial contender.
Exactly. You need to find pass rush some way, somehow, this offseason, whether it is trading for Max Crosby, signing Trey Hendrickson, finding someone, and I'm not talking about you find someone where you're sitting in the draft in like the 20s. I'm talking about you trade up and go get someone inside the top 10. Because right now you've got nothing to speak for on the pass rush right now. Like, Montez Sweat has put up some numbers, but he needs someone else opposite him. And preferably I would like someone who is better than Montez Sweat to be the one opposite him. I get that you flushed this defense with a ton of cash in it. Mm-hmm. And you may spend a little bit more even this offseason to bring back someone but you may spend even more this offseason to bring back someone like Nashawn Wright, who's had a nice season and earned himself a lot of money. But you need to find, if I'm Ryan Poles and I'm addressing the needs of this Bears team, it starts and ends with pass rush. And I'm not talking about you take a flyer on a guy or you find some like mid-tier free agent. I'm talking about you need to shop at the top shelf store if you're going out and finding a pass rusher of consequence.
Absolutely. Cordell's on the west side. What's up, Cordell?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Shout out to everybody in the studio. What's going on? Happy
shout
holidays.
Out.
I hope your Christmas was good. You know what I'm saying? The question, do I believe in the Bears? And that's a capital F, yeah. Okay. Now, we do know, you know, we have what you guys are talking about, issues with the pass rush. And I understand, and hopefully, you know, in the offseason we can address that. Another thing I've been doing lately, right, I love my ESPN 1000 Chicago crew. Shout out to everybody that has a show, who fills in, whatever, whatever.
Shout out.
But lately I've been spying on the ESPN Milwaukee guys. And when I say these guys are such delusional people, it is, like, crazy. I was listening to the guy yesterday when they lost the older cat, and of course the Kyle guy, but when they lost yesterday to the Ravens, they were like, oh, well, the Bears doesn't have a good running attack. And I'm saying to myself, like, wait a minute, who's second in rushing? Like, what are these people talking about? And they are, now I get they've had the best of us, but they are so ahead of themselves. Like, they're really already talking about matching up against us in the playoffs already. And they're like, oh, well, you know, we can beat the Bears and this, that, and the third. And I'm like, dude, we outrushed y'all the first game. Second game, you got, you know, maybe a few more yards, but, like, put some respect on our names. Like, this is, like, diabolical listening to them. I can't wait till their season is done, because I am really, really tired of spying, but it's oh, my goodness, it's crazy. Now, one more thing, guys.
Sure.
Do me a favor, whenever you guys get a chance, Check on the winning percentage of teams who get the bye as opposed to the losing. Because, you know, I wouldn't mind having games right away. I know, you know, it may be a tougher task, but I do understand the importance of getting the number one seed because you have the teams like the Rams, the Niners, and who wants to play in Chicago in mid-January when it's below zero? Not nobody that comes from a sunny state, sunny city. So I definitely understand that, but just do that. And as far as the edge rush, I think I would love Max Crosby, but I think Booker can become something special because I was watching some of the ESPN highlights or whatever the case may be, and he's only played 8 games. He's got 3.5 sacks, and he's got some nice moves. He's got some nice moves. So, but with all that being said, happy holidays to you guys. Happy New Year. Bear down. Let's get this win tonight. I'm ready. Bear down, baby.
All right. Thanks a lot, Cordell. Appreciate it. There's a lot to unpack there. Like, I think now is when you got to spend, though. Like, now is when you make moves for Crosby because your quarterback is cheap.
Yeah.
In a few years when you have to pay Caleb, that is when you make Booker-type moves, right? That's when you try to find guys like Booker because that's when you're trying to save money because you're paying your quarterback $60 to $70 million because Caleb Williams is hopefully worth that kind of money, right? I think with the bye... Yeah, sure, the Rams might not want to come here, but it's also 55 degrees outside in the end of December right now. We don't know what it's going to be in 3 weeks.
Yeah, if you get
also,
a snowstorm.
Also, the Seahawks and the 49ers, it might not really affect them because the Seahawks are used to that
stuff. Play outside,
yeah.
I mean, I think it's a little bit different because it never really gets below like 45, 40 degrees in San Francisco. If you and I'm talking about if you end up playing a game that's like in the teens or something here,
yeah.
Then you're talking about something that's a little different, but... In terms of like the Austin Booker stuff, listen, I think he's a fine player. He was a flyer worth taking, but let's not act like he was a first round pick.
No.
With first round pick pedigree. He was a fifth round pick and one that you traded up to go get too. You traded out of a pick the following season to go get Austin Booker. So I think he's maybe has potential, but I'm not going to sit here and try to sell you that Austin Booker is going to be the next like big pass rusher. If you made me guess right now, is Austin Booker going to be a Pro Bowler at some point in his career or not? I'd say no. That's where my money would go down on. And I'd say that about a lot of people. That's not a slight on Austin Booker. You can still be an impactful player, but I need to see a consistency on the field and I need to see you be healthy as well. That's been a big problem for Austin Booker over the course of his career.
Yeah. I just think that you are one player away now. Like you are before the season. It was a question mark. I still thought you should have gone out and made a move for someone, whether it was obviously Myles Garrett wasn't going anywhere, Max Crosby wasn't going anywhere, but Micah Parsons was available. And yeah, the price was steep, whatever, but the move was there to be made. There were moves to be made for guys that were out there. And whether it's Trey Hendrickson, whether it's Max Crosby, whoever it is, we now know this team is one player away.
Yeah.
And now you've opened up a window. Now you are in a champ. You have won a division. You are in a championship window.
I think there's two games this year that I look at, the game against the Eagles and then the last game against the Packers. And those two games being wins means you have officially opened your window of contention.
Mm-hmm.
And especially this year in the NFL, I've been saying it a lot, but the Super Bowl champion this year is going to be a flawed team. The league is littered with them. The best of the best are flawed. This isn't like last year where Philadelphia was about as perfect of a team as you could have assembled. Philadelphia was not a flawed team last year. I would not have said the same thing about this last year. But this year, like the Rams sometimes struggle on the road.
Mm-hmm.
The Seahawks, we know Sam Darnold can give the ball away with the best of them.
Mm-hmm.
The Bears, they don't have much of a pass rush. Like, the Eagles, when are they and when aren't they interested? They seem pretty interested right now with a 13-0 halftime lead on Buffalo. Like, there's going to be a flawed team that comes out and wins the Super Bowl this year. There's just nothing else you can say about the state of the league right now.
See, you look at those games, and I look at the Bengals game, and I look at, you know, like the Steelers game. And those games should not, like the Bengals game specifically, should not have been a game. Like the Ravens game, you were one of the only teams at the time to lose to the Lamar-less Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
The Bengals game, You let Joe Flacco do whatever he wanted because you could generate no pass rush.
Yeah.
So if you had any pass rush, Joe Flacco's a statue back there. He couldn't do it. He couldn't move.
Yeah.
But you couldn't get anywhere near him. He put up 47 points on you. And so when you have a pass rush, yeah, you might not be worrying about the one seed right now. You might have that extra win right now against the Ravens. You might have an extra win against the Packers from a few weeks ago. You might not be worrying about it right now if you had a pass rusher like Max Crosby on your roster. We've got about 10 minutes until the network pregame show, and then in about 2 hours from now, we'll get you kicked off for Bears and 49ers on the home of the NFC North Division champion, Chicago Bears.
The new home of the Chicago Bears.
Counting down to kickoff on the home of the Bears. This is Pregame Tailgate with Black and Abdallah, presented by our friends at Bradley University. Now, here are your hosts, Adam Abdallah and Chris Black.
Thank you to Jack McGrath, Hannah Lamont, and Eric Skrowski for producing today's show. In about 5 minutes from now, you've got the network pregame show with Waddle, Sylvie, and Dion Miller, followed by Jeff Joniak, Tom Thayer, and Jason McKee for the call of the Bears and 49ers. After that, the postgame show with Yurko and Peggy, and then the post-game show with Jack McGrath, Pat the Designer, and Jason McKee. Again, a lot of Jack, a lot of Jason, all that good stuff. To the wee hours of the morning, 2:30 in the morning.
New guy buys coffee.
New guy buys coffee, yeah. Jack's the new guy? Is Jack the new guy? Jackson.
Well, he's new on the show. It's usually Jeff and Jay Mack and Pat's show.
Yeah, it is.
But Jack's parachuting in, doing a good deed today. But new guy does buy coffee.
All right. I'm going to give this 30 seconds. Or not 30. I'll give you 45 seconds. All right, Mitchell? 45 seconds. Mitchell and Displays. Go.
Hello. Okay. So, basically, in Bears history, the best passer, not the recent one with Williams and DJ Moore, the best one, starting number one, 1985, Jim McMahon is basically sidelining a Steve Fuller who's struggling. He's arguing. McMahon chews dick up. I need to go in the game. He goes, fine. He eventually gets there, throws a deep pass for a touchdown. Second possession. McMahon does another one. So where do we go? Okay? He gets, and by the way, they're all doubles, okay? Which makes Dika go crazy, okay? First time 1979, Vince Evans, right? In Dallas, Texas, throws a 60-yard bomb to James Scott, okay? Not only was the national media thrilled, the entire world of the Chicago Bears never saw a pass like that from a USC quarterback named Vince Evans, okay? That is the bottom line!
All right, that's the bottom line. I heard like Vince Evans, and that's it.
Got a little Jim McMahon.
Jim McMahon, Vince Evans. That's all I heard.
Respectfully disagree. I was not alive.
Yeah. I thought that was a pretty good throw. I mean, they were both good throws. Yeah. They're good throws. Yeah. They were good throws. Bears, 49ers, Sunday Night Football. The Bears, a 3.5-point underdog on the road. Lots of questionables for tonight's game. Darnell Wright, questionable with an illness. He flew separately earlier today with the team. DJ Moore, Olamide Zaccheaus, added to the injury report earlier today as well. With this illness that is going around the Bears organization up at Hallis earlier this week. So they are now sick. We know Rome Odunze is going to be out. We know Nick McCloud is going to be out. We know that Nashawn Wright and TJ Edwards also questionable. CJ Gardner-Johnson also questionable. Luke Newman questionable. A lot of questionables for this game. Tyler, how do you see this one going?
I think it's high scoring tonight. I do. I don't trust either of these defenses. I don't think either team's going to generate any sort of pass rush here. I think both offenses are going to kind of have their way. And I think this ends up being a whoever has the ball last type of game. And you can't really predict who's going to have the ball last. It is interesting because what we've seen out of Ben Johnson when he wins the toss, he's worked in curious ways in terms of, hey, we're going to take the ball or we're going to defer. Usually he makes that decision more based off of weather than anything else. You see most teams, you win the toss, you automatically defer to the second half. Ben Johnson has not worked that way. So I'm intrigued to see how he handles the coin toss if the Bears end up winning this coin toss tonight. But I think it's just going to be whoever has the ball last in this game. And for that sake, I would say if you're betting on it, I would bet on the underdog in a game like that, especially when we've seen this line now move from 3 to 3.5, which is kind of a curious move.
Yeah, I think it didn't move when the news of DJ Moore and Zaccheaus came out. It took a while for that to kind of happen. I think it actually happened before that news came out. So the total in this game is 51.5. You think this is going to be higher scoring? I agree with you. I think it is going to be higher scoring. I don't want to say that I hope Kittle plays, but I'm
expecting him to not play.
I was looking forward to seeing Shanahan and the chess match between these two guys going back and forth.
But what has Shanahan done better than anybody in football? It's play left-handed. Yeah. And what I mean by that is not have your full complement of guys. I mean, if his name wasn't Kyle Shanahan and he hadn't been to multiple Super Bowls already, he should be the coach of the year. Yeah. The fact that the Niners are even in contention for a one seed right now with all the injuries and significant ones at that they've dealt with, this, like, Kyle Shanahan, if I had a vote, would be my coach of the year this year.
The only reason I could see this being lower scoring is if these guys that are questionable with these illnesses, DJ Moore, Zaccheaus, any of these guys end up not playing because they're going to run the football a lot more, and that would bleed a lot of clock, time of possession. You see kind of like a way that they handled the Eagles game. I think the Bears end up winning this one if Kittle doesn't play. If Kittle doesn't play, I think that hampers what the 49ers can do a lot. I think the Bears win this one 31-27. The NFC North Division champions move on, get another win, and we'll find out when they play next week. It is now time for the Network Pregame Show. We'll talk to you next week.
Chicago Bears pregame.